your fellow redeemed in Christ, fellow united to Christ, watch your step. When might someone yell that at you? Maybe when it's slippery, maybe when there's piles of garbage or manure in your path, right? Or maybe there are pits surrounding you. They don't want you to slip. You don't want to slip. You don't want to stink. You don't want to fall. And so your friend gives you a warning. That's how Paul begins our text this morning as well. In the verses leading up to our text, he has told the Ephesians all about how they have been freed from darkness and brought into the light, like you and I have been by God's grace. In our text, then, he continues that thought as he encourages us to watch our step. Because we have been united to Christ to live wisely. Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." The days are evil. We probably don't need a reminder of that, do we? Just turn on the evening news and you'll see just how evil the days are. This past week, a seventh video about Planned Parenthood selling the organs of aborted babies was put out. The content in this video is even more disturbing than in past videos. A doctor talking about how the heart was beating in several babies as their organs were harvested. The days are evil. Same-sex marriage was legalized on June 26th. The days are evil. Muslims are beheading Christians worldwide. The days are evil. But we are to stand our ground. Most of us are familiar with the fate of the Roman city Pompeii in Italy, right? It was destroyed when the volcano Mount Vesuvius erupted in the year AD 79. And I had the opportunity to visit it actually when I was studying abroad in college. It's really cool to see because basically it's frozen in time, and that's what's really cool. You can see what was happening at the moment that the volcanic ash and lava fell on the city. There are numerous evidences that many tried to flee from the catastrophe, which is exactly what you would expect, right? But apparently, in the last during the excavations, they've also found that they didn't all flee. There was at least one man who did not. He was at the city gate, and they found the skeleton of a Roman guard. He had remained right in his position, both hands clutched about his weapon, while the very ground on which he stood trembled, and the fiery ashes were gradually burying him. After all these centuries, he was found still at his post, still holding his ground. That's a good picture of what we are called to do as Christians. The days are evil. But even as the world around us goes up in flames, we continue in the teaching we have learned. And where do we find the strength and know-how to do this? Well, in our text, Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of God." That is where we find the strength and the know-how to stand firm, in the will of God. That is true wisdom. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Tomorrow, school starts at George Jenkins and at a lot of schools around here. I know it starts at FSC also, and Kurt said at USF it also starts. The things that we learn in those classrooms, or that we learned in those classrooms, are of great importance, and they can really help us in this world. But that's as far as it goes. It's those skills that we learn in the classrooms. It's only for this world. True wisdom is the fear of the Lord. True wisdom is understanding what the Lord's will is. And that's the only thing that gives us strength to make it through this life where the days are evil. So where exactly do we find this true wisdom? In Scripture. As we hear it here in church, as we study it in Sunday school and Bible class, as we study it in daily and home devotions, here we find the message that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. That he came to rescue us from the darkness in which we were trapped by our sins and unbelief. And he did it all. Not so we could wander back into the darkness, but so we could walk in the light of his will and his ways. So we could walk in the light of wisdom. As we hear earlier in Ephesians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is what he has saved us for, to walk in the light, so that we might not walk in fear of hell or in falling into the world's ways, but so that we might walk in the light. God is coming to you this morning with a question. Have you been wise with your time? Seeking first his kingdom and righteousness? If you forgo physical food and exercise, it can lead to all sorts of unfortunate consequences. The consequences of forgoing the wisdom of the Lord, of forgoing the most important bread of life, well, those are even worse, because the consequences can be eternal. And it's not just enough to give it the old college try. We might have the best intentions, but until God's word becomes routine, it won't be. It won't be part of our lives. God is coming to you this morning to remind you what is most important. A routine use of God's word at church and at home. This is the only place where we find the Lord's will. Knowing his will, then, growing in it, stand firm and watch your step. We are literally surrounded by minds, by different temptations that threaten to compromise your faith and weaken it in an instant. Or maybe over time, because that's where unrepentant sin ultimately leads, isn't it? And it might take some time, but it erodes away at faith. And the temptations and the sins that lead down the path of destroying faith, they're everywhere around us. Turn on the computer, even go on Facebook, and what kind of ads do we see? Scantily clad women calling us to check them out, lust a little bit. Turn on the TV, almost any TV show, and what kind of words do you hear? Filthy words. Lord's name in vain. Offensive words. And what kind of a reaction do we get if we live boldly as Christians, following God's will in everything, sharing His will with those around us. Not usually hugs. We're surrounded by a world where the days are evil and where traps are everywhere. Look carefully then how you walk. Pretend that you fall into a cave. You're surrounded by complete darkness. One wrong step and you could plummet to your death. When you find the mouth of the cave again, why would you ever go back down? It would be foolish, right? That's what happens if we go back into the darkness, if we don't watch our step, is that we go right back to where God rescued us from. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul continues, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Basically, he's saying, don't be filled with alcoholic spirits. Be filled with the real Spirit, the Spirit of God. I remember when I went to Caesarea Maritima in Israel, and they took us to the amphitheater there. Outside of the entryway, they had little what would look like caves, and our guide asked if we knew what they were. And do you guys know what they were, these little caves? They were vomitoriums. Basically, little rooms outside the entryway for the audience to come and vomit when they had drunk too much. You see, the people of Ephesus, as well as the rest of the world at Paul's time, was prone to overindulging in alcohol. That was his world. But is it any different in ours? We still live in a world where drunkenness and alcoholism are rampant. Drunkenness is a sin. Paul repeats that idea over and over again in his letters. But it's a sign of something else, isn't it? Of debauchery, which is basically reckless living and self-indulgence. It's an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to deny myself this pleasure. I'm going to drink because it makes me feel good. And that's what's most important, is that I feel good in this life. That's the same attitude that brought sin into the world in the first place, isn't it? It is. But it's also the reason that Jesus came into this world. He didn't come to indulge himself. He didn't come to get drunk. He didn't come to be reckless. He came to save us who had done all these things, who have done all these things. He lived a life that we have not. He was always wise, always selfless, and always focused on one thing: knowing his Father's will and doing it above all else, above making money, above being popular. His number one priority was understanding the Father's will and then giving himself up as a sacrifice for us who have been unwise. Knowing his love and his sacrifice, then, we want to live the Spirit-filled life. We've been freed from the cave of darkness. We've been brought into the light so that we can see where we are stepping. Why would we ever want to go back to the darkness? We don't. Instead, we want to follow Paul's instructions here. And first of all, make the best use of our time, as he says in verse 16. We often speak of life as a time of grace. You know, it's the time that God graciously gives us here on earth to come to faith. But it's not just a time for us to come to faith. He gives us this time on earth after we come to faith so that we can share the news so that others can come to faith. We have this time for a reason, for His purposes. It's not so we can indulge in alcohol or anything like that. It's so that we can share the light, spread the light, share the good news. I think it's illustrated well by this story. Back in the 1800s, there was a British man by the name of Henry Thornton. This is a true story, by the way. And he was a Christian man. He was well-to-do in business, and a man who wanted to share the good news of Jesus in the world came up to Henry Thornton one day and asked if he could support his mission work. Thornton replied, sure, and he took out his checkbook and wrote a check for £5, because this was Britain, remember, right? And £5 in the 1800s, that was actually quite a lot of money. So he gives him this check for £5, and the man walks off. And as he does, a telegram comes in. And Thornton reads the telegram, and his face turns pale. And he just, you can see that he's concerned. And he calls, bring back that man who took away my check. And so the man with the check comes back, and Thornton says to him, I just received a telegram and found out that I have lost a good sum of money. Please give me the check back. So the man gives him the check back, and Thornton adds a zero onto the five. So that instead of £5, it's for £50. Now the man is surprised because he expected Thornton to rip up the check. Certainly not multiply it tenfold. And he asks him, why did you do this? Thornton said, because God has just brought it to my attention that I may not have this wealth much longer in this world. And so I want to use it well before it's gone. That's how we as Christians want to use the blessings that God gives us. Be it our treasures, or our talents, or our time. These are all limited here on earth. On this earth that is coming to an end. Want proof? The days are evil. Look at how evil they are. This is our time. Not only to grow ourselves, it is our time, first of all, to grow in our understanding of the will of God, but then also to share that will with others. His will that I'll be saved. Paul also urges us, to make the best use of our time. He also urges us to live the new life that we have in Christ, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, he calls on us today to live lives of praise and thanksgiving. It starts here with Sunday worship as we join together in literally singing hymns and in singing psalms and in speaking the parts of the liturgy, most of which are derived verbatim from Scripture. But that's not where our praise and worship and singing ends. It bubbles over into our lives. All of our steps are to be hymns of praise. Everything that we do is to be making melody to the Lord. and we give thanks. Not just once a year on Thanksgiving, but every day we live in thanksgiving to God. Understanding that all that we have is a gift from Him. And so we give ourselves back to Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, watch your step. Live wisely. Live a life of praise and thanks. It's what you have been saved for. Praise the Lord that we have been united to Christ to live wisely. Amen.